The event space that I am choosing to navigate my brand within is focused primarily on hospitality. So something that all of the events that I named have in common is that they all had some type of food element, whether it was Food Truck Fridays or Steak Stocks and Scotch or A Taste of Paradise or even Art Block Love with our food vendors. It's a space that I feel like needs to be more focused on with how many restaurants and small businesses that are focused on food there are in Jersey and around the country in general. I feel like in terms of food content and food media, there needs to be a larger Black presence in general. And it's something that I really want to explore.
Hey, what's going on? I am Ramsey Said What. This is the A-Side B-Side podcast, a branded podcast by whatsthemoment.net. So as always, thank you for taking the time to subscribe, press play. And if you haven't subscribed, but you did press play, go ahead and hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to your podcast, as well as on YouTube. This episode is with my brother, Mike History. All of the links for his stuff and everything he does is in the description, and we talk about it in great detail on this podcast. Now, since this is a music discovery podcast, I thought I would be like remiss not to sit and talk to you guys about this J. Cole, Drake, and Kendrick big three beef thing happening. I generally stay out of the mainstream stuff because I love talking about the underground, but these guys are like, you know, this blog and website came out of the blog era. I have to talk about this at least very briefly. J. Cole came out and apologized. Frankly, I thought it was kind of soft. If you didn't want to drop the record, you could have just not did that and sent Kendrick a text message. But this all stems from, I guess, going back as far as First Person Shooter, where he absolutely murked the record. And he staked his claim and where he thinks he stands in this big three. And it was a big record. And, you know, Drake said his part. You know, he's had this quiet beef with Kendrick over the years. And Kendrick drops his record with Future and Metro Boomin a couple weeks ago. And, you know, the record seemed more aimed towards Drake than Cole. But you notice what I think is funny is Drake didn't say anything, but Cole did. And Cole dropped an absolute monster of a record. It was a nice, he called it a warning shot, and he's focusing on the fall off. But to come out and wave the white flag and show your belly at Dreamville Fest, I don't like it. Because you did such a good job on the record, and if you feel remiss and feel all this guilt and remorse, like, come on, it's straight Cole and Kendrick. This isn't Biggie Pac, this isn't Nas J. Nothing said was too far. I thought it was a little soft. Those are my thoughts. What do you guys think? Put that in the comment section. Anyways, let's get back to the topic that was in... No pun intended there, but this is the return of Versus Mike History. Feel this. All right, what's going on? I am Ramsey Said What. This is the A-Side B-Side podcast, a branded podcast by What's the Movement. I can't tell you what episode number this is. I have no clue at this point. But what's going on? How y'all feeling? If you are watching, you can listen to this everywhere podcasts can be heard. If you're listening, you could watch this on YouTube and Spotify. And always on whatsthemovement.net. But my new guest isn't a new guest at all. I feel like you were on season two. There goes my cat. Anyways, you were on season two. I don't remember the episode number, but I've re-listened to it again just to make sure we didn't talk about like the same stuff.
Yeah,
it was one of my favorite episodes, so I'm going to link that in the description. But I'm going to let you introduce yourself again just because... might be a new audience.
Peace, everyone. My name is Mike History. I am a media executive, founder of Versus Mike History. That's a podcast and a radio show called Wavy Sound FM that exists on SoundCloud. Versus Mike History exists on wherever you can get your podcasts.
Yeah. All of those will be in the description as well. But Wavy Sound is fire. I suggest all of you tap in. I was on an episode, but Chins was the one I liked the most, I think.
Thank you.
Chins was really dope.
Appreciate that.
So let's talk about that. Like, so, you know, you've been having like DJs do mixes and stuff like that. We talked a little off record, but tell the people what's going on with that.
So Wavy Sound started about 10 years ago, around like 2013-ish.
Okay. Like end of blog era type of.
I had started a clothing line with a couple friends, and we decided that we wanted to create a radio component to go along with the clothing line so that we could, you know, one of our friends was a DJ. So he wanted to be able to like experiment and put out projects under like the same brand so that we could like have synergy. So fast forward, the clothing line didn't work out, and then we decided that we were just going to go our separate ways, and then I decided that I would continue the radio show. So what I did was I just sent a message out to people on the internet, and this is like early SoundCloud era, just like, hey, I'm looking for DJs who want to do mixes for my radio show. If you want to pull up, you know, and collaborate, let me know. And I did that for a couple of years. And it was really successful for a time. I got to collaborate on multiple occasions with multiple DJs, which was very dope. And I even had like a really successful mix, I would say, in terms of analytics.
That's important.
For the most part, like, and just grew the audience and the follower count on the SoundCloud page. And that's pretty much where it is. Honestly, the issue that arises when it comes to the radio show is just that I never put as much focus into it as I should have. I was just gonna say that like there were times where like I had saw mixes do well on the platform, but I knew that that necessarily wasn't really my plan moving forward in terms of what I wanted to do with my career, so I didn't invest in it in the success that I saw. So like I might be like that. All right, well, I got to my, like, I went to community college and then I transferred to university. So when I got to Montclair State, I became an alpha and, you know, I just wasn't focused on the radio
show.
That's
a lot of time.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and I was like running BSU as well. So,
I think we talked about that before.
So, that was an experience outside of music completely. And, you know, it's something that I've should have put more focus into in the past, which is why I decided to bring it back last year. And I think that it's been seeing the success that it rightly deserves, because people are tuned in for the different types of music that comes along with the radio show, and people want to be able to showcase their music abilities. And I appreciate you coming, being one of the first people to mix this year on the platform.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it.
I appreciate you giving me one, because like we were saying, like I just like to spin, and I like to spin like stuff. I mean, like stuff people have heard, but like some stuff people haven't, you know, like,
right?
And like mashups and stuff like that. So like I think when I did that mix, I was in a big like I'm a piano like phase right there. But then, you know, like I wanted to incorporate like old house, like stuff like we listen to at our cookouts and stuff like that, you know. But thank you for that, by the way.
No, for sure, for sure. And like the platform is for people who have taste to be able to showcase that. Like if you feel like you have something that you need to showcase the world, then my platform is the platform for you. And that's just how that's how it should be. We're getting to a place in terms of streaming where, you know, I get on Spotify, I'll say, and Spotify creates 10 playlists for you to listen to. They may have a hip hop playlist, a R&B playlist, a 90s playlist, a 2000s playlist, but it's all the same music. Yeah. If you really compare them next to each other, mm-hmm. they're just promoting certain artists, and they're promoting certain artists who have certain cachet at the labels that can afford to put them there. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of space for discovery. And there's a lot of people who are putting out really good music. And I think that there needs to be more platforms. And we have seen a lot of the emergence of a lot of platforms that are music focused. But there just needs to be a lot more, because we can't rely on the algorithm, because the algorithm is just going to give you what you want based off of what you already listened to.
Yeah. Like, how do you discover, like, I mean, I call this a music discovery podcast, you know, mm-hmm. like when I do my interviews of like local and some not local, but like just people that haven't really been heard around here. So like, how do you feel like new music is discovered now? Because that's like always been the conundrum to me, you know, like in the blog era was the blogs, back in the day was the radio. Like how now?
I think that music discovery hasn't necessarily changed a lot over the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. It's just in terms of what the follow-up process has changed. Mm-hmm. So like the club, the strip club.
Okay.
Yeah. Still the internet, you know, we just depending on where, instead of a blog, you have a TikTok.
Okay.
You have an Instagram reel, or you have a skit mm-hmm. that might promote a song. And the process of discovery hasn't necessarily changed over the last 20 years. It's just becoming more difficult to find the music after you are outside of these settings. And that's what's frustrating, mm-hmm. especially to the consumer and to the audience, because it's like, you don't want it to be difficult to find somebody on a streaming platform. You also don't want to worry about if that streaming platform is going to remove the music or anything that is in relation to that. And the rights game that comes with music is so convoluted these days, mm-hmm. and the payout, you know, there's so many aspects that come along with music discovery. So I think that you can still find good music on streaming services. You just have to do your due diligence. Like, it's mm-hmm. not going to be as easy as opening up your phone and going to a genre section and then discovering something brand new. Like, you might have to scroll down a couple playlists. You might have to ask somebody.
Yeah.
Like, what's cool?
Yeah. Like, what are you listening to?
I think we got away from that because of the advancement in technology. Mm-hmm. Like, being able to have conversations about what's good and what's hot because of technology was at our fingertips. But I think we're sort of getting back into that era.
Yeah. So go to Wavy Sound to find cool new music.
Please.
Dope DJs there.
Yep.
Who was the DJ that did the Lover's Groove mix? Because I like that one as well.
Oh, that's the homegirl, Foxy Nora. So shout out to Foxy Nora. She did our Lover's Groove mix. That came out in December of last year. Mm-hmm. That was actually a re-release. It came out in the beginning of 2023.
Oh.
But I didn't necessarily have a plan for Wavy Sound at the beginning of the year.
Gotcha.
So I put it out and I didn't really do anything afterwards. But by the end of the year, I was like, I'm going full force back into this.
Yeah.
And that was like the first one I wanted to reintroduce everybody with.
Nice. How many do you have like just sitting on tuck like that? I feel like you probably got a few.
I have three sitting in the tuck right now.
Okay.
So I got a couple on the way. Shout out to Nonchalant J. Shout out to DJ Soul Aquarian. Shout out to Middle Name Bashir.
Nice.
Those are the guys. But I just sent out like an SOS on Instagram from the Wavy Sound and Versus Mike History page. It's like spin for the radio show. And I ran it as an ad. And honestly, the reception was surprising. Like, it's like people are dying to show you their music taste.
Mm-hmm.
And we've gotten to a place where like you can just find whatever music that exists in a streaming app. So we take for granted how we connect with the people who provide us with the discovery of new music. Mm-hmm. And people are like literally dying to be like, yo, look, I know what's hot out here. Mm-hmm. And we have to give a platform to these people.
Yeah.
And that's really what I aim to do. And eventually, if that can lead into direct artist discovery and working with artists directly, mm-hmm. of course, I'll work there. But for now, it's just focused on the DJs and the selectors and making sure that the people with taste have somewhere to go.
Yeah, that's dope. Like, we've talked a lot about like cultivating sound and stuff, but I like what you were saying about it translating to like your setting and events and stuff like that, which is a perfect segue, I think, to mm-hmm. To the events that you've been doing lately.
So,
I'm sure you have something happening in the future, but tell me about the ones you've done lately.
So, a lot of the events that I do under the Versus Mike History brand mm-hmm. are usually collaborations. I feel like that's the perfect space to explore collaborations events. And in the past, I've just chosen to focus on certain topics or certain themes that I would like people to have a space to indulge in. So one of the first events that I did last summer was Steaks, Stocks, and Scotch with Dear Black Men, which was basically me hosting a panel mm-hmm. over a steak dinner, and we talked about financial literacy and
wow.
Other topics that regarded manhood and, you know, things that mm-hmm. would be dope for anybody who is a man in the creative or entrepreneur mm-hmm. community to indulge in. And it was a really dope event.
Yeah.
And it was an event that I had went to as an attendee first I had the opportunity to collaborate with moving forward. The same with a lot of my collaborators, honestly. It's the same with Almanir Farms. He mm-hmm. Organized an event last summer called A Taste of Paradise, where like it was supposed to be an outdoor event, but due to the weather, it was indoor. And there was mm-hmm. a panel. There was a panel followed by live performances, and there were vendors. So it was a really dope collaboration. Yeah. And I collaborated on the media and in terms of taking pictures and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then I collaborated on two food truck events.
Nice.
Last year with Gateway U, which were dope and helped me realize that what type of direction that I want to move in terms of my brand and developing a marketplace. Because prior to 2023 and 2022, I had hosted a marketplace called The Showroom. Mm-hmm. And that was basically just a vendor marketplace where people like sold like their clothes or whatever other products that they had. And I just saw the need for small businesses to have a space to be able to promote their businesses, but also for people to be able to come together to support them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want to be reliant on the big corporations to provide those spaces, because we'll be waiting forever.
Mm-hmm.
And if those same companies can provide help to the smaller businesses and mm-hmm. creatives to make those things happen, that's highly appreciated, but it just is what it is.
Yeah, and it puts them in the room with other like-minded people, obviously on the same level, you know?
Right.
Like that, you know, we always talk about that Issa Rae, like network across quote, but it's true.
Exactly. It's very true. Yeah. It's very true. Use the resources that you have at your disposal, because those are what are going to help you get to the next level. Not trying to find the next person with the more followers than you mm-hmm. to try to have them inadvertently pull you up to where they are.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. Not all the time. It does. I'm not going to say it doesn't work. I'll walk that back. I'm not going to say it doesn't work, but it's not genuine. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, most of the time it isn't genuine. Most of the time you're trying to do it as like an inadvertent thing or a backdoor thing. And, collaborations work the best when people are straightforward with what they want out of the collaboration.
Yeah. That, and like, I like the idea of like, if there's somebody I want to work with, I like the idea of like offering my resources. Cleo, can you get out of the shop, please? Offering my resources first to them.
Yeah.
Disregard my cat, y'all. She's always in every episode, so this ain't even nothing new. I don't even know why I tried to lock her in the bedroom. All right. You want your 10 seconds of fame? I wish this could make us fame. Actually, people really love cats, so maybe you should get...
Might have to create the cat page.
Yeah, for real.
And the cat pod.
Honestly, it would go crazy. That's the craziest thing. It would actually go crazy. But
have you seen Miss Peaches?
Yeah. Like, it's insane.
Look, people show it to you all the time.
Yeah.
Like, Dave is already super successful, and he's about to create a whole separate... You know, he's doing that for fun.
Yeah.
He's, like, using that for charity and stuff, and that's really dope, but it's crazy. Like, animals are... Did she go animal and kids?
Yeah. I'm like, if I have a kid, we're definitely doing a podcast. Like I'll say it now. Like, I don't even care if anybody wants to steal
the creator economy is too valuable. It's just that the powers that be that have the CPM in the palm of their hands try to make it as confusing as possible to navigate the space.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just look at the successful people, you know, we're getting away from the formulas that work because people think that they can just do it. But if you look at what worked and you emulate that, then that'll help you get to where you want to be versus trying to figure out just thinking that somebody who you don't look highly of, who's successful, you can match their success because you feel differently than them or you feel like your opinion is higher than them.
Nah, like when I have a kid, I'm dead ass. Like it's going to be a 3-minute podcast and it's just going to be like, did you ask a good question at school today?
Amazing.
And just see what they do. See what they say.
We need to focus more on kids content as well. Yeah. Like, I think that's a good point to mention because I've worked in education in the past and a lot of the videos that we put on for the youth are made by white creators and there's no problem with that. It's just that it's a space that we haven't necessarily tapped into and we are so focused on the glamour and glitz that come with the success of being a musical artist, but we don't realize that black people who are innately good at music have so many more spaces to operate in. Yeah. Like, we could be creating the music for the kids so that they have a platform to create better music when they become adults. But, yeah, that's a whole nother topic.
Yeah.
Back to the events, though. So, Mark... sorry.
Nah, no sweat.
I choose my collaborators very carefully and vice versa. So, the food truck events led to me organizing what was supposed to be a block party, but didn't happen that way because of the weather. And that was a really successful event where I collaborated with three other partners, Love Language, Art by Sun God, and The Event Plug. And we had a great event where artists came out and showcased their art. Music performers came out and performed.
Nice.
We had food vendors and we had small business vendors. And it was a really successful event. We plan on doing it again this year, this July. And from there, the last event that I did in 2023 was a happy hour, Thanksgiving happy hour.
Nice.
With Gallery Retail at outside of Cool Vines in Newark.
That's dope. Cause like the thing about Thanksgiving that like, I think people don't think about is like, that's the time of the year where like everybody's home, you know, like, you know, people that moved away or whatever, like they're coming home to visit their family.
Right.
It's like stuff like that. So that's like a perfect time to do an event like that.
For sure.
Yeah. So what do you have on deck? I'm just gonna ask straight up.
So I have a collaboration with Brown Box on the way. To preface it properly, the event space that I am choosing to navigate my brand within is focused primarily on hospitality. So something that all of the events that I named have in common is that they all had some type of food element, whether it was Food Truck Fridays or Steak Stocks and Scotch or Taste of Paradise or even Art Block Love with our food vendors. It's a space that I feel like needs to be more focused on with how many restaurants and small businesses that are focused on food there are in Jersey and around the country in general. Mm-hmm. I feel like in terms of food content and food media, there needs to be a larger Black presence in general. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I really want to explore. So I reached out to Brown Box to organize a dinner party. Mm-hmm. And we're going to put together a really great event with music by a DJ and an art showcase by an artist that is still yet to be disclosed.
Okay.
And
I'll try to get that out of him off record.
and it's going to be a great time. And I just want to focus on, and it's no shade to all of the events that happen in Jersey, at the lobbies and the barcodes and the Lit 21s and all of these types of places. Because we need a place to be able to like express ourselves and wind down after a long week of working and mm-hmm. things of that nature. But when you don't want to go out and necessarily just turn up, I think that it's important that we create a space for events that aren't necessarily surrounded by turning up and maybe focused on other types of hobbies and interests that we have in our lives, like eating good food.
Yeah.
And being surrounded by people who are wearing nice clothes and hearing mm-hmm. good music and things of that nature, and just, you know, creating mature spaces and diverse spaces.
Yeah.
You know, like, we don't want to be pigeonholed to one type of event. So I am just aiming to create a space for more hospitable events where people could come together and actually talk and get to know one another and build better lives and careers with within themselves and with one another.
Yeah. Like, do you feel and it's I guess it makes me feel old for sure, but like not in a bad way. Like mm-hmm. like I feel like the kind of adult I always wanted to be, like, I'm becoming that man.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, like, being in like cool spaces like that I always thought I would be, unfortunately I feel like I have to curate that. Do you feel that at all? Or do you feel like it's not enough of that? So it's like you're taking it in your own hands?
For sure. For sure. That's actually a really interesting point that you've brought up. Yeah. If we're taking it back like 10, 11, 12 years ago, like back mm-hmm. when I had first graduated high school and I was very impressionable and I had an idea of what the world had for me versus what it actually had. Mm-hmm. I thought that I would be able to just run the streets and go to all the dope events and be able to keep up with the culture in that way. But the way that society has evolved, especially with social media mm-hmm. and just the creative landscape, there needs to be more curators. Yeah. There needs to be more tastemakers, because technology has stepped in a way that has made the everyday consumer feel like that role isn't necessary
mm-hmm.
in today's world, but it's needed. It's wanted more than ever.
Yeah.
It's just that it isn't necessarily as celebrated as it was 10 or 15 years ago when, you know, you could have a 9-to-5 and be a celebrated executive mm-hmm. at a corporation versus somebody who has to go out on their own and build it from the ground up and find that success and work towards that success to develop that reputation for themselves. Mm-hmm. So I think that the needs that we have are similar. It's just that the process of how we go about them has shifted a bit.
Yeah. That's really interesting. I don't even think I thought that deep about it, you know, like until like this very moment. Cause like, mm-hmm. you know, like, yo, man, like I'm tired. So like, I can't turn up. Yeah. Like I can't stay up all night no more. I can't like turn up all night and then go to work all day and then like still want to do it next weekend. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. But the problem is that we are the generation that saw the prior generation do it.
Mm-hmm.
So we know what it takes. Like the generation after us may not even know what it takes. So we have to take have the responsibility of knowing what it takes and applying that mm-hmm. to the space versus being sitting back and just complaining about there not being anything.
Yeah. That and the generation after us, no shade, they don't go outside.
That part.
Yeah.
That part. They don't go outside. They're very content behind the screen.
Yeah.
They're very content behind the screen. And there's very much so still a real world that people operate in that needs to be explored. And also, not mm-hmm. only that, but just coming from our types of communities in terms of Black and brown communities,
yeah.
a lot of our spaces are being gentrified.
Yeah.
And that's something that I've been very adamant about being focused on the byproduct and the result of how that's going to impact brown and Black communities.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we need to create a stronger grasp on these creative spaces within these communities so that once they become gentrified, we still have
something
that equity
yeah.
in those communities versus saying like, oh, well, Newark's being gentrified and
mm-hmm.
What are we going to do? Well, yeah. we still have to create for the people that are coming in
yeah.
so that we have the equity to be able to bring in the audience that we want to mm-hmm. bring in versus
or
the
take
audience.
It away and put it wherever we want to put it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like Bloomfield is looking more like Montclair every day. Like it's looking more like West Orange. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah, for sure. So it's more so about stepping up to the plate. I don't think that it's necessarily a thing that everybody has to hop on the bandwagon to do,
mm-hmm.
but the cream rises to the top.
Yeah.
So, I don't think that there's necessarily an issue of there being too many players out there trying to put together events for people. I think that it's just a matter of people needing to explore what is necessary for the people and versus what they think people want.
Yeah. All right, so that's the events. We talked about Wavy Sound. I'm trying to remember because I'm like my podcasts are blending into each other because I've been listening more than I've been recording for what feels like the first time ever. I feel like
mm-hmm.
back in the day it was just record.
Yeah.
So I feel like I was more like internal in that way. Let's talk versus Mike History. Let's talk about your podcast.
For sure.
In our last episode, we talked about how it was like, it's not just like your typical Passport Bros podcast. It's a lifestyle podcast, but
yeah.
you worded lifestyle in a way that I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Refresh my memory though.
Yeah, so Versus My History started as an interview series mm-hmm. where I would just have a creative who I personally knew
mm-hmm.
on the show to talk about what they had going on in their personal lives. And it was a win-win because I needed a guest and people like talking about themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So me and Jamar, shout out to my boy Mar.
Yeah.
He helped produce the first few episodes of the podcast. And then when it shifted to me doing it by myself, I had to learn how to become more of a producer, even though I had a bit of experience already, but
mm-hmm.
it was real then. Like now I was like, all right, well, the show's either going to be made by you or it's not going to be made.
Yeah, I feel that. I really do.
Yeah, so there was that challenge of becoming my own producer eventually, and then about a couple weeks in, the pandemic hits.
Yeah,
and
I was on that episode,
right,
which is the craziest thing in the world to this
very
day.
very wild times. The pandemic hits, so I can't do interviews anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I start talking about what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
I did that for a couple of months, and then I go back to interviews once people start reaching back out to me to come on and promote their stuff.
Yeah.
These days, I don't record that much, honestly. Like last
yeah.
year, I've recorded like an episode in the past 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
But the podcast is very much so not dead.
Yeah.
The conundrum that I'm having with the platform currently is solidifying a co-host or consistent guest on the show.
Mm-hmm.
There is a clear blueprint for how podcasts should operate now.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're about the 5 or 6 year point into the podcast boom.
Oh, for sure.
And I think that there are clear rules of what you can and can't do when it comes to podcasting and what people will and won't check in for. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's important to play by those rules in order to see success. Because we saw the cream rise to the top over the past 5 years. We saw the Gillies, the Joe Buttons, the Norris, Joe Rogan, Caller Daddy, if we're getting into other demographics. We've seen those podcasts rise to the top, but now those podcasts have grown to a point where they have the space to enter different ventures, which gives more space for people to enter the podcast space and make a name for themselves. And I think that, like, 2024 moving forward is a great space for podcasters, even though people are saying, like, podcasting is dead. No, it's not that podcasting is dead. It's just that you can't sit a bunch of people in a room and talk about what's a $200 date. If your girl cheat on you, is she supposed to stay? And that's dead.
Going 50-50 and it's on dead. Bills and stuff like
it's
that.
It's okay. Like the Passport Bros era, the Andrew Tate era, the Kevin Samuels era, it's dead. It's, you know, prayers, thoughts and prayers. But, you know, you actually have to provide content. You actually have to be a media entity now. And for the people who have interest in doing that, it's very much still possible. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of opportunity because everybody who has any, even a semi-successful podcast pretty much has a gambling deal now, right? So if the gambling people think that there's money into it and they're just willing to throw money at these creators and there's still affiliate money to be given out, then there clearly has to be space for growth. So I think that when approaching podcasting and 2024 moving forward, you just need to approach it from the perspective of being a producer versus being the talent, and be organized in your pre-production and make sure that you're investing in your equipment and you're good to go. Like,
Nah, the budget has to get bigger every year. Otherwise, it has to. You're not doing this right.
It absolutely,
like,
has to.
This right here looks different than it did the last time you were on.
It does.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
it
does. And I've seen the same coming on your podcast a few times. You know what I mean? Like, it has to, or you're not doing this forever.
Because my podcast, for the 114 episodes that I recorded, only one of them have been on camera. That can't be. It just can't be, you know, realistically, like, as much as, you know, the podcast, quote unquote, industry is non-existent. You're creating a series.
Yeah.
You're a showrunner. You're a producer. You're creating a media entity. You have to approach it in that way and focus on how you're going to make that a profitable business.
Yeah.
You can't think about it like, I'm going to create a podcast and get popping and then do club appearances and make a song and be in a music video,
get my little
and start hanging out with a celebrity. No, like, you're not a streamer. That's different.
Yeah.
That's defined, but it's not what getting into podcasting is. So,
although I think the one thing I think is going to, like, I think the thing we're going to start seeing in 10 years, and it's starting to happen now, like, so like 10 years ago, every, like, website, every brand had, like, a blog on the website. Now I'm starting to think they're going to start going, putting a podcast on their website, whatever niche the business is in. I think that's what's going to start to happen.
Yeah, because it's like, you can monetize your comment section.
Yeah,
that's
which is crazy.
That's the reality of it. Like, why have people... Why try to reply to every comment on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook and YouTube when you can have everybody call into the podcast?
When I can literally talk to you and look you in the face.
And then run ads on that and then put that on YouTube to make money and then put that on TikTok to go viral and then put that on Instagram. To, you know what I'm saying? Like,
all to get you to buy the product, like, which is crazy.
Both Both processes yield the same exact outcome, yeah. but one is way more strategic than the other.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you just have to study the media environment, you know, take yourself a little bit more seriously, pull up your bootstraps, and, you know, there's opportunity for growth. Shout out to No Filter Podcast. Shout out to Goodfellas Podcast. Yeah. Shout out to It's Not That Not That Serious Podcast. Shout out to End of Regulation. Shout out to A-Side, B-Side. Shout out to all the Jersey podcasts. We need to utilize each other for growth. Like, that's the point of the game here, to be able to grow together collectively as an industry, because it's not one podcast that's going to grow. The industry has to grow.
Yeah. We talked about this a little. So listening back to our last episode, like, we talked about that a little bit, and we talked about how we all know each other. Mm-hmm. Like, we all absolutely know each other. So, but shout out to all the aforementioned names too. Like, everybody's working, and like, it's good. Like, it's not like just podcasting because I own microphone equipment. Like, it's all a quality product.
Yeah, and it's just about defining what you want. Like, it's cool sitting on a couch talking. We got mics, we got equipment, but do you want to be paired in with all of the people who say abolish podcast equipment, or do you want to be taken seriously as a media entity?
Yeah, that's a fact.
And as a business operator and owner, like, you know, separating yourself and you utilizing other people who take themselves seriously for that growth. Like, I was watching a video of Speedy interviewing Duke Dennis, and he was talking, and Duke Dennis was talking about if he had to start streaming from day one, he knows he would be successful because he knows exactly how to get from the point of zero followers to being successful, and it's by associating himself with all of the people who are already successful, so that the people who've watched them can then watch him and view them in the same light. And that was so enlightening to me because he acknowledged that it's a collective effort, and it's not mentioning anybody's name in a malicious way.
Yeah.
To get clout off of them, is just utilizing somebody else's content and making commentary about it and giving your opinion on it so that they can interact with both rather than just yours.
Yeah. That's like the other like point of this podcast, you know, like not only am I sitting with other podcasters, other musicians, because obviously music, but, you know, like, I'm sitting down with authors, I'm sitting down with, like, other journalists. Like, I've gotten to meet like a lot of really cool people in that way. So yeah, that's kind of the point of this, at least. Like, that was the point of radio for me back in the day too. So it only makes sense that it translates here too. But, I've touched base on everything I had. You got anything you want to tell the folks before we get out of here?
Look out for Wavy Sound FM, soundcloud.com/versusmikehistory. Mm-hmm. We got the Acquired Taste dinner party coming up with Brown Box in May. Tickets go on sale for that very soon. And Versus Mike History will make a return.
Yeah, man.
Sooner than later.
We need that. I want to be on a couple more episodes. I've been on
for
like,
sure.
I've been on like two or three, I think. I appreciate that platform as well.
Yeah, man. My platform is for my platform is a creator-centric platform. So Versus Mike History was created to promote creatives and entrepreneurs. Wavy Sound was created to promote tastemakers and selectors and DJs. Like, I create platforms to promote other people, and hopefully we can all eat from that eventually.
Yeah.
And
it shows too, though. It does. It really does show.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. I can't get out of here without, I mean, cat's out the bag. I've been talking about it on the internet. Look out for the Ransom Report podcast, executive produced by whatsthemoment.net. That's going to be all on the website. Shout out to Ransom and Laserbeam Chic for hosting that. They got a few episodes in the tuck, although we have not released that. My sit down with them is going to come out pretty soon. I feel like I should re-record because we recorded it so long ago, but look out for that. Look out for everything happening for everybody. Like I said, all of those links, everything Mike has said, like, they are in the description. So if you're driving, like, get to where you're going before you click these links, for real. But if you're just listening, go ahead, read the description. If you're watching, thank you guys for watching. Like, I've been like a video producer like for like a decade, but mm-hmm. this is only like the fourth episode I've recorded the whole thing on video, which is crazy. I hate video editing. I'm good at it, but I hate it.
It's very tedious.
Yeah, it's incredibly tedious. It's
why I was like, oh, podcasting is getting popular? Bet.
Yeah.
But now it's like, no, video is still king.
Yo, it is.
Cool, I guess.
Like, what's crazy about it is like, anytime like I'm like talking to anybody about having a podcast, they're like, oh yeah, where can I watch it? And I'm like, no, you listen to podcasts. What do you mean, watch it? And it's the world we're in.
It is what it is. Yeah.
We're all, I mean, I'm a visual learner too. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate, you know, filmography and cinematography and right, stuff like right. that. And I'm not bad at it. I just don't want to yeah. do that and audio mm-hmm. and
that's
social.
That's why we have to create profitable businesses so that we can pay people to do these
yes,
things.
That's a fact. If you're a videographer or a producer of any sort and you want like work, we got work for y'all.
If you're in college and you're looking for an internship.
Yeah, nah, I get you college credits. Shout out to my intern, Morgan.
College credits. I get you a stipend. I get you fed.
Yeah, like yeah, that dining hall food ain't lit. Like, I got you. Word. I know this sounds like some
for sure.
some Suge Knight, like,
you gotta get, to death row. You gotta get work from somewhere.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's dope. It's also dope. Like, it's you're not doing like stupidity,
right? Yeah, come work with the independents.
That's a fact. But this is the A Side B Side podcast. Thank you guys for listening and watching, and we're out.
Peace.